It's good to be here in the house of the Lord this morning, to be with brothers and sisters in Christ. We can lift up the Lord's name in prayer and praise and song. And, you know, maybe hear scripture or two along the way. That's nice, isn't it? Right? Well, it's good to be here today. Let us go ahead and join together in our call to worship this morning. We are called to bring a new understanding of God, that God so loves the world.
We are the salt of the earth.
We are called to bring a new hope in God, that God gives us new life.
We are the light of the world.
We are called to follow the commandments and the law.
The law of God is to love God and to love one another.
Come, let us be the salt of the earth, the light of the world.
Come.
Let us pray. You do not desire a fast of sackcloth and ashes, but a fast of righteous. You ask us to loose the bonds of injustice, undo the thongs of the yoke, and set the captives free. Train our hearts to do what is right, O God, not what is easy. May we live our days among the righteous, that we may never be moved, but dwell secure in your mercy and your grace. Amen.
Well, good morning and welcome to worship on this lovely first Sabbath Sunday in February. Are we getting just a little bit of tease about spring maybe, this kind of nice weather we have? So if you are able to stand, would you please stand as the light of Christ enters? Our opening scripture this morning is Psalm 112, verse 1 through 10 from the Common English Bible. Now, I kind of peeked in my NIV Bible also, and it says that the author of this psalm is anonymous. But it also said that Psalm 111 through 118 are called the Hallelujah Psalms. I did not know that. Of course, Hallelujah means praise the Lord, because these psalms express uplifting and an optimistic tone. So Psalm 112. Praise the Lord, those who honor the Lord, who adore God's commandments, are truly happy. Their descendants will be strong throughout the land. The offspring of those who do right will be blessed. Wealth and riches will be in their houses. Their righteousness stands forever. They shine in the dark for others who do right. They are merciful, compassionate, and righteous. Those who lend generously are good people, as are those who conduct their affairs with justice. Yes, these sort of people will never be shaken. The righteous will be remembered forever. They won't be frightened at bad news. Their hearts are steady, trusting in the Lord. Their hearts are firm. They aren't afraid. In the end, they will witness their enemies' defeat. They give freely to those in need. Their righteousness stands forever. Their strength increases gloriously. The wicked see all this and fume. They grind their teeth, but disappear to nothing. What the wicked want to see happen comes to nothing. So this is the word of God for the people of God. Okay, at this time then, let us go to our Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you for being able to get up this morning and come to your house to praise and worship you. How blessed we are to live in a free country where we can do that. We know that you are here with us. Just quiet our minds so that we can feel your presence. We ask you to be with those of our congregation that can't be here today. Watch over them and keep them safe in their travels. And Lord, we thank you and praise you for the blessings in our lives, such as birthdays and anniversaries, and of course, our families. We pray for those struggling with health issues. Give all those struggling with health problems comfort and healing. Be with the doctors and the healthcare workers as they strive to care for us. We pray for those who are facing some financial difficulties or relationship issues or struggling with addiction problems. Give them clarity of mind and wisdom to help make right decisions and choices. Lord, there is a lot going on in this world that we don't understand, such as the Chinese balloon incident. And Lord, killings, shootings, beatings, drug smuggling, looting, that, just to name a few. Our country seems to have lost its moral compass. Lord, help with your infinite power. Just guide us back on the right path. And Lord, we just hope that the balloon situation will not lead to any problems between our countries. Be with the leaders of our country. May they seek your guidance to make wise decisions. And Lord, we thank you for the military men and women that are serving our country to keep it free. Watch over them and keep them strong and safe. As we take communion today, may we be reminded of what you did for us on the cross. Your gifts of love, mercy, and grace are freely given when we open our hearts to you. Be with Pastor Ben as he brings us his message. Open our minds and hearts to receive it and use it in our lives as disciples for Christ. Lord, we ask all this in your precious name. Amen.
So we come now to a time in our service where we have the opportunity to give thanks to God for all that God has already given to us by giving back just a portion. As the ushers come forth to collect this morning's tithes and offerings, as we give, let us not forget to also give our hearts in service to our Lord today, tomorrow, and moving forward. Radiant One, source of every good gift, we thank you for the light you shine in our lives. We praise you for the joy you bring to our hearts. Receive the gifts we bring before you this day, that they may loose the bonds of injustice, undo the thongs of the yoke, feed the hungry, and let the oppressed go free. Bless this offering and the ministries it supports, that your light may chase away the shadows in places lost to hopelessness and despair. In Christ's name we pray, amen. You may be seated. This morning's scripture reading that we'll be working through this morning a little bit comes from the fifth chapter of the Gospel of Matthew, verses 13 through 20. Hear now the words of our Lord this morning. You are the salt of the earth, but if salt loses its saltiness, how will it become salty again? It's good for nothing except to be thrown away and trampled under people's feet. You are the light of the world. A city on top of a hill can't be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a basket. Instead, they put it on top of a lampstand, and it shines on all who are in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before people, so they can see the good things you do and praise your Father who is in heaven. Don't even begin to think that I have come to do away with the law and the prophets. I haven't come to do away with them, but to fulfill them. I say to you very seriously that as long as heaven and earth exist, neither the smallest letter nor even the smallest stroke of a pen will be erased from the law until everything there becomes a reality. Therefore, whoever ignores one of the least of these commands and teaches others to do the same will be called to the lowest in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever keeps these commands and teaches people to keep them will be called great in the kingdom of heaven. I say to you that unless your righteousness is greater than the righteousness of the legal experts and the Pharisees, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. These are the words from our Lord. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. God, we come before you thankful for this opportunity that we've been given to gather before you today, to be together as the body of Christ, to sing songs that lift up your name, to lift up you in prayer, and inviting you, this opportunity to invite you into our lives. Lord, may our hearts, our minds be open to receive that which your Spirit would have us receive this day. And may the words from my mouth, the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable to you in your sight. For you, Lord, are our rock and our Redeemer, now and forever. Amen. So I was talking with someone recently, and the subject of high school had come up. And they made the comment that high school was the worst when it came to cliques and belonging and certain places and who was top dog and whatnot. I seemed to get the impression that my high school experience was a bit different than theirs. I actually rather enjoyed a number of aspects about high school, but even then, I have to admit, I think that my overall experience from freshman to senior year was a bit more scattered than most. Because I feel like as I went through high school, I never quite knew where I belonged. I just kept finding group and group and group and group. Like, I kind of feel like I had a lot of hands in a lot of different places all at once. No, I had been in bands. I'd been in show choir. I ran track. I tried wrestling for a season. Tried being the operative word. I tell you what, that conditioning, though, that was my best year I ran track. I'm just saying. I went on some trips with the Outdoor Adventure Club, and I was technically a part of the French Club, NHS, Beta. Of course, there was theater, but that didn't come until my junior year, and I had a lot of fun doing shifts at my high school's radio station. I helped with the See You at the Pole rallies. I was in AP English classes, but I was in the general math courses. All that to say, even though I was in a lot more things when I actually start to list them out than I realized I was in, when I stop and think about it, I still never really felt like I was a somebody. I was just doing my own thing. I wasn't trying to make a big splash. I was just trying to do what I did. It wasn't really until my senior year that I began to realize that a lot of people seemed to know who I was. And that was a strange thing for me to realize. My high school wasn't big. Pendleton Heights, when I was there, my class, the class of 2004, was 222 students. The only reason I remember that is because I was ranked number 22. That's a lot of twos. So there was between 850 to 1,000 kids in my high school at the time. Hanover College was right around 1,200 students, so not really much bigger, but that same mentality kind of took hold of me. I'm not trying to make a big splash, but I stop and I realize, yes, I was in the theater crowd. Some of my best friends were Campus Crusades for Christ, and I would wind up preaching and speaking there a handful of times. I played a lot of Ultimate Frisbee. I mean, a lot. I mean, our team even would travel to tournaments like at Ball State and in Richmond. it was still weird for me to realize, though, that people seemed to know who I was. Like, people would recognize me. And I'm like, what? Because that's not what I was trying to do. A lot of my friends, my little sister included, they went to Purdue. Needless to say, that's a much larger, much louder, and much more intimidating large campus than my small campus experience had been. Yet I began to notice when I would come to visit my friends, come to visit my sister, that everybody was important to somebody else, that everybody was noticed by someone else. Everybody was important enough to be recognized by someone else. People that were looked up to and people who were looked out for. I know I was glad for my high school crew to be looking after my baby sister when she went there, when she got in trouble or when she needed help. They were there for her. They knew, hey, this is Ben's sister. This is Britt. We're going to look after her because she's important to us as well. I know in a lot of cases, the bigger the town or the bigger the city or the bigger the campus, even if it's a fairly small high school, it can be easy to feel like a nobody. And sometimes we just want to keep our heads down and keep our door shut and be that nobody. You know, just be safe. If people don't notice you or you don't feel like you're being noticed, like it's easy to do in college on a big campus like Purdue, then you feel safer that way. Because truthfully, keeping your head down to be safe is really tempting when you want to stay out of trouble, when you want to stay unnoticed, when you don't want to be picked to be the next Rotary president or whatever it is. I mean, that's the joke in committees, right? Who's not here? They get to be the chairperson now. Right? Staying safe is a good thing and all, you know? If people don't notice you, that means that they don't target you either. If people don't notice you, that means they're not watching you when you make a mistake. And let me tell you, there's plenty of things that you do as a teenager, plenty of things that you do as a college student, plenty of things that you do as a young adult. I'd imagine even plenty of things that you do as a senior citizen sometimes that can be considered embarrassing. You don't want people to notice. So sometimes you do want to be the nobody. Sometimes you don't want people watching you because you don't want that attention for when you make a mistake. So maybe the fewer the people that actually see you, the better. Possibly, I don't know. This idea of safe, though, is something that we spend a good amount of time trying to do. We spend a lot of time trying to be safe. We worry about it oftentimes. However, it doesn't really seem to be on Jesus' list of things to worry about. Have you noticed that? It's not that Jesus has a worry list per se, but he certainly does seem to share with us a list of things that we need to be on the lookout for. Things that we need to pay attention to. And then there's the realization that it's a long and involved list that's full of significant and powerful ideas and moments and people, but nowhere does Jesus say, go out into the world and be safe. Neither does Jesus say, shut your door and lock them and be safe. If anything, it was kind of a shocker for the disciples when they had locked themselves behind a door after Jesus' crucifixion. Poof. Hey guys, how you doing? Why are you inside? Why are you just trying to be safe? If anything, Jesus seems to be a risk-taking kind of leader. Seems like Jesus' motto is get on out there. Go and do, or maybe even more accurately, go and be. You are salt, is what Jesus tells us in this morning's scripture passage. You are light. No one lighting a lamp goes and hides said lit lamp, right? You lit the lamp for a reason. You lit the lamp because you need some light in the room that you're in. You don't light the lamp just so you can stick a basket on top of it to hide it. That doesn't make any sense. And this is where, if you have that song, Let It Shine, is going on in your head, it'd be appropriate. You know, this little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. Let it shine is what Jesus tells us to do. He doesn't even tell us to make it shine. He tells us to let it shine. There's the difference there. Do you notice the difference between make it shine and let it shine? Make it shine means it's dark and we need some light. Let it shine means the light is already present. The light is already there. So don't hide it. Let it shine. Last week, we walked through the Beatitudes, and we were reminded that even though we oftentimes look at them like imperatives, we were reminded that Jesus doesn't actually present them as imperatives. Jesus is instead describing the community of God, this kingdom of God that we are called to be and we're called to be a part of. He's describing it as it already is. When you stop and realize it, you realize you already are blessed. You don't have to go through a checklist of things because you already are blessed. We are called to be and already are simultaneously peacemakers, meek, hungry, and thirsty for righteousness. Jesus is describing us, not commanding us to be a certain way. Jesus is saying that when you are at your best, when you are obedient, when you are following me, you already are these things. So let that shine, let that come out, put that on display. Likewise, in these verses that follow those first 12 in the beginning of the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus continues to describe us. Jesus isn't telling us to get salty, which has its own connotations to it. Jesus isn't telling us to get salty. He is telling us you already are the salt of the world. Jesus isn't telling us you need to light up. Jesus is telling us you already are a light. It's as though he's reading the character description at the beginning of a play script. Matter-of-factly, you are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. Just matter-of-fact, you're salt, you're light, you already are. Get over it. Now, what do we do with that information? Jesus shares this with the crowds around him, and you can't help but wonder just how many people ask the question, when did that happen? When did I become the salt? When did I become the light? When did I become salt for the earth? When did I become light for the world? I'm just me. I'm just doing my best, keeping my head down, minding my own business, just trying not to get trampled by school, trying not to get trampled by my job, trying not to get trampled by my community, trying not to get trampled by life. When did I become important and noticed? And then Jesus wants me to shine, to give light to the whole house, and he's saying it like I'm already doing it? It's kind of amazing, really. When you're just living your life, not minding anybody else, but then you realize the people that are in turn minding you, that's kind of a shocking thing to realize, right? You think, nobody else knows this. And then you figure out, oh, wait, but they saw me do it after all. Huh. I guess that's the thing about light. Light doesn't exist for its own sake. Light isn't about getting people to look at the light. when we try to become the focus of attention, when we take center stage, we aren't being the light. The light is there to help folks find their way. It is about shining on the path, about revealing the hazards along the way, about getting people where we need to be with a minimum amount of detours. Light is not for light's own sake. Light is for guiding. Light is for helping us to see. Light isn't for light's own sake, then salt isn't really for its own sake either. Salt isn't salty just to be salt. No. But salt as an enhancer, salt as a preservative, it's invaluable. When you use salt, it's an incredibly useful thing. It was common in Jesus' day for farmers to actually salt their fields to add in the right mix of minerals to help crops to grow. Which leads us to this realization. The word that we translate as earth is literally ground or dirt in the Greek. So Jesus is saying here, you are the salt of the ground. You are the salt of the dirt. Well, that sounds like a great job description, doesn't it? You're made to be in the dirt. Right? I'm not saying 6 feet under, just saying that. Okay, so it's not a fun job, but it's one that helps things to grow, right? That's our job, what we're called to do as disciples, isn't it? We're not called to be the center of attention ourselves. Instead, we're called to help others grow, to light and help point the direction that others are supposed to go to. We're supposed to be there to help enhance people's experience and help them know the love of God so that they too might grow in discipleship. What are we called to do as the church? The mission statement of the church is to make disciples of Jesus Christ for the transformation of the world. That is what the church is for. The church is literally being told to be light in the community. The church is literally told to be salt in the community, to help them know, to help others know God's love, to help them grow. It's risky, I'm not going to lie, because it's a loud and a noisy world out there. And I can't tell you how many times it was just easier for me to put the cover over my head and say, not today, I don't want to deal. Sticking our heads out means that someone is going to notice us. And sometimes being noticed is a scary thing. So it might just be safer to keep our heads down. But here's the thing. We can't. And I mean, we literally can't. Jesus is telling us that as well. Because even some people, even hermits who live out by themselves, people know about them. Right? Jesus says, a city built on a hill cannot be hid. That's a really random thing to drop. You guys are salt. You guys are light. You guys are a city on a hill that can't be hid. And Jesus throws this in a spot that doesn't seem to make any sense, but what he's doing here is that he's reminding us that we're already exposed. People already see us. People already notice us. Whether you want to be or not, people see you. There's no ifs, ands, or buts or getting around it. People already see you. You can be going about your day just doing your thing or things, but someone is going to notice you. Someone is going to see you and see what you are about. So we might as well be good representatives of the faith, since each and every one of us are going to be noticed regardless, right? If people are going to be looking at us, if people are going to be noticing what we're doing, we might as well do the best that we can. We might as well share with them about Jesus Christ. We might as well share with them about how love has transformed our lives. We might as well help them to grow as well. We are the manifestation of Christ in the world today, whether we claim it or not. So with this realization, we might as well go ahead and claim it. If people are looking at us and already associate us with Jesus, well, we might as well make Jesus look as good as possible, right? It might make us look a little bit foolish along the way. So what? Shoot, the Methodist Church was built on foolishness. I kid you not. John Wesley, in his daily diary, he literally writes, "I resolve myself to be more vile." This is in a day when the preachers are only supposed to be preaching behind a pulpit. And here John Wesley has the audacity to not just preach from out behind the pulpit, to preach outside the church itself. You know how many fellow Episcopalian priests looked at John Wesley saying, "You're being foolish standing up on your soapbox out in the middle of a field." He literally stood on a box in the middle of a field. He was a short man, folks. But he went out there to meet where the people were. When he wasn't allowed to preach in his home church, you know what he did? He found his dad's grave outside of that said church. He stood on top of that grave outside of said church and went ahead and preached to a larger crowd outside the church than was actually inside gathered for worship. Because for him, it was about showing people the light of Christ. It's about showing people and pointing to Jesus. It's about adding to their faith and their discipleship, enhancing it. For him, he realized he was salt. He realized he was light. And he realized that people were already watching him. So, might as well. So this is what Jesus is saying here. You are the salt of the earth. Why not help things grow? You are the light of the world. Why not help folks find their way? Why not mentor? Why not lead? Why not be what you are? A sign of Christ's presence in the world today. Why not live into what you already are? So Jesus says, get out there. Go and be. Get out there in the noisy world, the noisy, wonderful, scary, glorious world, and let your light shine. Don't try to hide away in the back of the room because people are still going to see you there too. Don't worry about being trampled underfoot. That only happens when you stop being who you're called and created to be. You are light. So let it shine. People are noticing us anyway. No matter how small you may think you are, no matter how small you may feel you are, no matter how small you may try to make yourself to be, people are still going to notice you. You are not as insignificant as you try to make yourselves out to be. So may we be a people that choose to be more purposeful about our discipleship and sharing God's love. May we be a people that live into who we are and what we already are, salt and light of this earth, bringing about and pointing people towards the kingdom of God. May we be a people who let it shine. Let us pray. God, we come before you this morning and we recognize that there are plenty of moments in our lives where we just don't want to be seen. We're either embarrassed or we don't know how to take the attention or any number of things for that matter. But Lord, you remind us that people are still taking note. People are still seeing us. We can't hide near as good as we think we can. So, Lord, help us to live into that. Help us to know that reality. Help us to point people towards you. Thank you for your reminder that we are the salt and the light of the world. Help us to live into that moving forward so we can help others to grow in this call as well. Amen. You are invited to join together as we move into this time of communion. You're invited to join in the liturgy, beginning with the confession and pardon, which you can find on page 12 in the hymnals, or you can just go ahead and follow along on the screen up there. Merciful God, we confess that we have not loved you with our whole heart. We have failed to be an obedient church. We have not done your will. We have broken your law. We have rebelled against your love. We have not loved our neighbors, and we have not heard the cry of the needy. Forgive us, we pray. Free us for joyful obedience through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Hear the good news. Christ died for us while we were yet sinners. That proves God's love toward us. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven. Glory to God. Amen. As forgiven people, let us move forward into the liturgy. And be reminded that the Lord is with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right and a good and joyful thing always and everywhere to give thanks to you, Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. And so with your people on earth and all the company of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Holy are you and blessed is your Son, Jesus Christ. By the baptism of his suffering, death, and resurrection, you gave birth to your church, delivered us from slavery to sin and death, and made with us a new covenant by water and the Spirit. On the night in which he gave himself up for us, he took bread, gave thanks to you, broke the bread, and gave it to his disciples, and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." When the supper was over, he took the cup, gave thanks to you, gave it to his disciples, and said, "Drink from this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." And so in remembrance of these, your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice in union with Christ's offering for us as we proclaim the mystery of faith that Christ has died, Christ has risen, Christ will come again. Pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here and on these gifts of bread and wine. Make them be for us the body and blood of Christ, that we may be for the world the body of Christ, redeemed by his blood. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world until Christ comes in final victory and we feast at his heavenly banquet. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit in your holy church, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. Amen. And now, with the confidence of the children of God, let us pray one more time. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who have trespassed against us. Lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. I believe Nancy's going to come down and help serve communion this morning. Just as a reminder, in the United Methodist Church, we practice what is known as an open table, which means you don't have to be a member of the church in order to participate, in order to take communion this morning. The only stipulation that you can have, if you really need a stipulation, is a willingness to come closer to Jesus this day. You are invited to come forward for a communion this morning. You don't have to get salty. You don't have to make light. You already are salt. You already are light. You already are noticed. So go forth into the world and share God's love with all you come across. Until we meet again, my friends, may the road rise up to meet you, the wind be always at your back, the sun shine warm upon your face, the rains fall soft upon your fields. Until we meet again, my friends, may we be helping those around us to grow in discipleship as we are all held in the palm of the Almighty's hand. Amen.